Are you ready to level up? Join us as we talk to people in various fields who share their journeys with us.
Hear about the obstacles they faced and how they've overcome and what they're learning. Hey, I'm your host, Cheryl Nemhard.
And I'm your other host, Danielle Zapchenk, and this is the Together We Rise podcast.
Hey guys, welcome to another episode of Together We Rise, an offering from Women Speaker Collective. We are so excited to have conversations with change makers right across the globe, people who are challenging the Big C Church, that are helping us to see the gospel in new and fresh ways, that are changing the narrative, that are making a difference in their own in unique way. And speaking of unique, oh my goodness, I fell in love with this guy in a healthy way. I fell in love with this guy. Because of the incredible Davidic call of God, this creative, worshipful way of being. And he just does so much incredible things. I can't wait to have this conversation. Danielle, let him know who we have.
Yeah, we are so excited to welcome Paul Mignard. He owns a tiny e-learning development company by day, and other times when he is not with his wife and his boys, he's creating art for sketchy sermons. He has been one of our coaches on our WSC Global calls and just a friend of Women Speakers Collective. Paul, welcome to Together We Rise.
Yay, thanks for having me. I'm super excited to be here.
Yeah. Paul, I'd love for you to share kind of like the precipice of like how sketchy sermons began, because it is a little humorous. And I think people, once they hear it, you're like, oh, I totally can relate with that.
Yeah. So sketchy sermons began with me drawing in church. I found myself drifting, you know, like I'd be there in the sermon. And this is after, remember when you used to go to church like 20-ish years ago? And the big thing was like, you'd get the bulletin and you would like have the blanks and you would wait to fill in the blanks. So this is after that. I found myself drifting and I really couldn't take notes. And I started drawing in church and I started doing the style of note-taking called sketchnoting, where it was like a combination of pictures and ideas and bringing them together in, you know, in my notebook. And I found it was this great way where I could focus on the message and I could understand and relate more to the information that was being put out. So for a while there, I started just posting those online, like, oh, here's my sketch note of the sermon. It grew to some popularity. And then I started drawing people and their quotes. I found that a whole sermon worth of content was just too much for social media, you know, to get, you know, like a 5-bullet point thing with pictures of David and angels and all this stuff. It was just too much. So I started focusing more on just drawing people and single quotes. And it's been an interesting experiment. So it's been really edifying to me and I've learned a lot, and it's been really good.
Paul, I love your humility. There's just so many people that follow you and so many people that talk about what you're doing and share and reshare and reshare your incredible posts. I wonder, because I felt this way. I felt this struggle as someone who is artistic, and I had a Christian theater company for 15 years and was a playwright. And I found that there just weren't enough spaces for me to be and to worship God in that creative way. Did you find that coming up just with this sort of ability to draw on the level that you have? Was there a feeling of like, where does this all fit in?
Yes, very much so. As you can imagine, when you present to a church that you're able to draw, immediately it's like, oh, great, we should put you in the children's ministry. Like, that's where you need to be, which is fine. I get it. But there's not really, sometimes you start doing things that there's not necessarily a place in the church necessarily for it, which I get, because it's, you know, if I show up, they're like, hey, I do these, you know, cartoonish caricatures of people saying quotes and stuff. It's like, well, we don't know where that would go necessarily. So, I found myself with this thing that I was doing that doesn't necessarily fit in a, you know, like you were saying earlier, like a Big C church structure. And I found a community online that was really open and accepting to what I was doing. And I don't want to put it out there that like, oh, here's all my thoughts. And I was putting them online and people were buying them. It's a growing process as much as anything. Like, I've learned so much from putting things out there. There's times where I did things where I was like, oh, that was, that was not good, you know, or this is opinion I've had or a thing I've thought that is not really true once it's exposed to other people seeing it and commenting on it. So it's been, so it doesn't necessarily fit in a structure, but it's been really good online to get that kind of feedback and build that community and, you know, make friends outside of, you know, it's like, I live in a fairly small town. It's like 100,000 people, college town, Lynchburg, Virginia, in the middle of Virginia. And I've been able to meet people and talk to people who I would never, you know, necessarily meet in my daily life. So it's been great in that sense.
Yeah. Paul, you shared earlier that this has really been a learning experience for you. I'd love for you to kind of share maybe like personally, spiritually, relationally, what are those things that you've been learning?
You know, I think, the first thing I learned is that it's very easy, you know, if you have certain opinions and they're not exposed to other people, to believe you're right about a lot of things that you're not necessarily right about, or to see things that people go through that you would never actually see. You know, one of the things I talk about frequently is women pastors on Sketchy Sermons. And I never knew, like the first time I posted a women pastor, I didn't realize it was an issue, right? Like I had no idea. I was like, oh, there's my sisters in Christ. They're preaching. Like, let's put them on here. It's like, oh my gosh, this is a serious issue for a lot of people. Mm-hmm. So, you know, it's in that sense, and I'm sorry, I kind of lost your question, but it was one of those things where it was like, okay, like I'm really starting to delve into topics that people, they really are ready to argue about and talk about. And, you know, there's some things where, like that one I held fast to, right? Like, I'm not like, oh, we gotta bear down on this. But there's others where, you know, like I posted once about singles, right? And, you know, it was somebody had a quote and I posted it and I had commentary on singles and I didn't, you know, like, oh, I'm married, I know how this works. But, you know, I learned that people who are single don't want to hear from somebody who's been married for 20 something years and hasn't dated since the 90s, right? So for me to come out and be like, I've got some advice for you, you know, I got some pushback on that and it was good. So, you know, the interesting thing when you make art like this, it's a way to present it where people will engage with it. And if you're going to put this stuff out there, you have to be open to listening. And some of it, you know, like anything, there's trolls, right? There's people who are just there to fight, you know, and you got to figure out who those are. But there's a lot of people who online will pour time into you with commentary and DMs and let you know, like, hey, this thing that you thought you knew isn't really what you thought it was at all.
Yeah. Mm. You know what I love about, I find that your, and we'll talk about that, I'll bring that up later, but I do find that a lot of your art starts conversations and beautiful conversations and allows us to sit in the tension of things, which is incredible. I'd love for you to talk to the creative who's listening, who has been told that there really isn't a place for their gift, that there's probably some narrow box that they have to fit into, and there's no way that anyone can see it being used for anything platform, you know, worthy. I feel like the arts gets a bad rap in the church sometimes. Right. Gosh, could you help redeem some of that and encourage the creative?
Yeah, I mean, the hard thing is, there's a lot of people online that will tell you what you need to do with your art, but you know, there's so much of it. Like, if I could go back to how I did things, there's no way I could have followed a structure to get to where I am now. Like, there's no like, oh, you like to draw people. Well, you need to do this and you need to do that. It's definitely a, like you're falling down the stairs and you're kind of picking yourself up as you're coming down. And some people, you know, you take a couple hard knocks and they kind of jump out of the game. Like they don't want to be in it anymore. You know, the one thing that I will grant social media, and I could be hard on social media. There's definitely issues out there, but it lets you put things out into the world without any expectation of getting anything back. Like there's no, like we were saying earlier, like you go to church and you're like, hey, I have these gifts and I don't want to use them here. A lot of times they're like, I'm not sure how this fits, or we're not sure where to put you, or, you know, they put you in the wrong place, or they just don't know what to do with you. And online lets you express and do those things that, you know, don't necessarily fit in the structure. And I know for me personally, one of the biggest things that helped me is I took the money aspect of it out, like totally, like no, like I don't have any expectations for money. I don't have any expectations for followers. The bar for success for me was like on the ground when I first started. I was like, if I can get a person to like this post that I don't know, like, whew, success. Or, and then later it was like, if I can get a person to follow me that's not in Lynchburg, like that's a success, or, you know, and it's just, so I guess I'm trying to tell people what I would tell the creative is there is no blueprint, there is no plan, but you have to do something. You have to get started. You got to put it out there. And I know I do the same thing. Like I'm doing it right now with photography. Like I'm working, like reels have been out for years, right? And I'm working on making a reel, and I've been working on it for years because it's like, oh, let me get the... do I need to get a camera? Let me research cameras for like 5 months. And like, oh, do I need to get a lit? You know, just this ridiculous like thing in your head. Like, well, I don't know if this is going to fit. I don't know if this is going to be successful. Like, so I 100% get it, but you just got to do it. You just got to put it out there. And, you know, and like I, a lot of times I'll say with my stuff, like, I'm not sure if it's good or if it's bad, but I do it prayerfully. So when I find a quote and I find a person, it's very important that the spirit in which I put it out isn't, is this going to go viral? Is this going to generate likes? Is this going to be engagement? But more like, am I coming across honestly and authentically here? Am I representing myself and this person in the way that they intended? And when you do that, I find God just makes things work out.
Paul, I think sometimes when either speakers or artists or creatives, authors are kind of at this like block of creativity, you know, that's hard to get out of. So kind of going back to what you felt in that time on that Sunday sermon, and you were just like, I don't know what else to do with myself because I'm thinking about other things. You know, you started drawing, you started doodling. So what would be your encouragement of to like lean into maybe something out of the box to spur on that creativity?
That's a good question. I find, you know, like for example, myself, I've always been a decent drawer. I've never gone to school. This isn't like I didn't take any classes or anything, but that's been one of those things where it's like, if everybody's here, I'm at least like here for the most part, right? Like I'm not like a Todd McFarlane or like a, you know, great comic artist. But I find the trick is when you start combining things that you have interests in. So if you're a decent drawer and you put something online and it's just not interesting, right? Because there's a million decent drawers online. But then when you take your decent drawing ability and your exploration of the things you believe in your Christianity, now you're kind of morphing these two things together. So I think a lot of times as creatives, we can get singularly focused on our craft, like the tool, the thing we're trying to work on. And really you've got to kind of combine them together, to make it more interesting. And the trick I'm learning now, especially in the world of AI art and automated generated stuff, is that, you know, cause anybody can now take a person and a quote and make a image, but it's that story, like that part of you that goes into it on top of it. And I found when I do that, things really get interesting. Like I include comic book characters sometimes in my quotes, right? So it'll be something from The Watchmen or Superman or something like that. And that's me coming into this, like it doesn't make sense, right? Like, oh, it's this Christian account that draws pastors and there's like a BoJack Horseman quote on there. Like that doesn't make any sense. So it's not even necessarily the skill or the talent. It's the combining it with your interests and the other things that you're passionate about that really makes it take off.
Mm. You know, we spoke earlier and I said that I would circle back about the way that your posts have prompted conversations, needful conversations. And you've allowed us to look at things from a different perspective, to be challenged in some ways, stretched in some ways, even to sit in the tension of it. I've read even your responses where you're like, well, this is good. This is the discourse we want, right? I think about how you were so strategic. I think for me personally, even during 2020, you know, the Black Lives Mattering, you speak about women and the lack of leadership, preaching opportunities. You've talked about even just moral failings. You've quoted some really hard stuff. Just talk to me for a minute about art as a tool for justice. What have you found there? Because I think you stumbled onto something. So share that.
Wow. Yeah, that's interesting. You know, I've tried to evaluate like what, because I know I'm friends with other artists and they're objectively better than I am, right? But somehow I've got more followers. And not that I'm like huge or anything, but it's like how do these people who are putting out these brilliant pieces of art, you know, paintings and whatnot, like they just can't find that reach and whatnot. I think, you know, the message is so important that you don't need that much art to elevate the message, because, you know, it's the difference, like if you're scrolling Instagram or if you're doing anything, if you see the same old thing, you don't stop. So when you're scrolling through Instagram, if you see somebody is like screenshot of a tweet against a, you know, forest, like you've seen that a million times. So most of the time you go by. I think the thing that separates my art from everything else, and the thing that everybody can do, is when I put a piece up there, it's not a picture, it's a couple hours of my life, right? So it's like, I'm not just like, oh, I took a PNG and I put it online. It's like, here's a couple hours of something that I did and here it is. And I think people recognize that it's not just this, it's not just a cool picture. It's my life. It's my, you know, day that I've shared with everybody else and put out there. And that's the thing that's missing nowadays, especially like I was talking about AI art, you know, objectively AI art. I'm mumbling that word, AI art, artificial intelligence art, or the auto-generated art, is objectively better than what I make. It's in color, it looks sharp, the hair always looks a lot better, the proportions are great, but it's not human. It's not, there's no time. And I think when you invest yourself into something, when you put your time into it, whether it be visual art like mine or music or, you know, whatever else people do, people respond to that. They can't help not respond to that. If you wrote a song about a verse, that's way more interesting and way more compelling than just, you know, a post, a tweet or something like that, you know. So I think when people take their time and their energy and they invest it in their art to promote some kind of message, it just takes it moves it up. Like, you can't help but stop when somebody's put so much time and effort into something.
Paul, Cheryl said this earlier, that you seem very humble. And truly, when you're talking about yourself, it's almost like you kind of just like, it's not a big deal. And I really, I think what I'm learning from you is just like, it really isn't about you. It is how God created you to be. So what have you, through this process, and this could be over the course of your life as well, what have you discovered about the creativity of our Creator because of this work that you're doing?
Oh, wow. Yeah. So that one, you know, it's funny. And just to address the humble thing, I don't like to argue, you know, like, I realize I'm online, but I'm the type of person, if somebody's like, you're wrong, I'm like, oh yeah, I probably am, you know, like we don't have to fight about this. Like, I'm probably wrong. Like, it's fine. We can still be cool and talk about things. You know, it's humbling. I will say this. When I started drawing the Bible instead of reading the Bible, things really came alive for me, because I would come across passages. Just to give you some insight, I'm working on a sketch Bible with a publisher now, and I'm at the final stages of it. And passages I've read over and over again for 20 years, 30 years, somehow when I come back and it's like, oh, I actually have to draw this person. I have to imagine this person in this time and the things they were going through. And it just, it comes alive. It's amazing that, you know, art is something for me, like, even though I'm making these drawings, for me, it's making it come alive. And it's just so much more rich than what it was before. And it's just, you know, the messages just sink so much more. Like, I don't remember who I was talking to about this, but we were talking about just how messed up everybody is in the Bible. Like, literally, they're just all like, everybody's a mess. Like, we're all a mess. This is part of how it works. And yet there's still beauty and there's still amazing things happening. And it's, you know, it's mind blowing. So, yeah. So art as a medium, you know, being a creative, how does it expose the creator? It's in every way. It's amazing that we have this capacity where we want to make things and not just like a legacy, like, oh, I'm going to leave something for everybody to watch. But it's like, once you kind of go down that road, it's like, you can't help but be a maker. You can't help but create. And it, you know, you get that feeling. It's like the runner's high. Like, is this what God feels like? Like, he created a kangaroo and he was like, that's amazing. Like, let's do, what's next? Let's work on this one, you know? So it's like, you get a little glimpse. I don't want to say being a creative is godliness, but it's definitely a glimpse of like, wow, how much more is God amazed when, you know, he crafts a black hole or a universe or a galaxy or a micron, you know, who knows?
I love that. Paul, can you share a little bit about how this creative journey, kind of answering this call and seeing it evolve and bloom into what it is, how has it changed you?
It has, you know, it's widened the view, because kind of like I was saying earlier, it's really easy in the course of your life to kind of put, you know, it's not a bad thing, but you kind of put the blinders on and you see things through your own lens and everything is black and white. But when you start talking to other people, when you start making friends and other countries, you know, I've got, that's been the coolest part of this, is that you meet people from India, you meet people from Africa, you meet people from Australia, you meet people in Europe, and you start getting these different opinions and these different experiences that people have. And you realize that this myopic one lane thing that you thought was the way life works isn't like that at all. It's wide open. There's people everywhere and they all have these valid opinions and they deserve to be listened to. One of the things I did a few years ago, as I kind of evaluated, I was like, you know what? I'm drawing a lot of white dudes, you know, and there's nothing wrong with that. That's, you know, I'm not like, oh, no white dudes. But it was like, okay, I want to hear from more people. I want to hear from more women, and I want to make sure my feed of information is more diverse, and that I'm getting more opinions from people who aren't necessarily in the same situation I am. And that's, this whole experience has just kind of opened that door. And even when you talk on issues, and that's been, and I really got to throw it to my followers and the people who engage in my content, because they come to these posts and they will bring stuff to the conversation. And it's not, I don't know, like, I've spent time on Twitter and it sucks. Like, just straight up, like what an awful, awful place that is not fun to be there. But you come to Instagram and you get challenged. Yeah. Like my followers will show up and they'll post these challenging comments. They're thoughtful and well-researched and empathetic. And it's really an interesting thing. So it's one thing I've missed this last year, is I've been working on a couple of book projects. I said in the end of 2022, I was probably going to take most of the year off because I had these other projects, and I'm interested to get back in it, because once you stop having those conversations, it's interesting. You want to hear from people like, oh my gosh, I've got all these things to post about and I want to hear from people. But yeah. Mm-hmm. So to answer your question, that's probably been the biggest thing, is realizing that, you know, the world isn't, you know, Paul's 4-minute drive to work in Lynchburg, Virginia. It is the 6 billion people out here who are having all kinds of different experiences. Mm-hmm. And being able to listen and experience and see what other people go through.
I just wanted to tag on real quick, because I don't know if you remember how you and I met.
Oh, I remember.
Okay. When you speak about having these meaningful, sort of transformative conversations with people, respectful, like challenging thought, I remember the moment that you and I had a conversation. It was right at the top of 2020. And it was your heart. It was your openness. It was your humility. My gosh. I mean, Paul, it's just a running theme with you. It blew me away. And just to see you like sort of say, you know what, let me kind of look at this and assess and widen my view. And it was just, it's so, so godly and so good. So thank you.
Yeah. I think you deserve the humility one on that one. If nobody knows, I did a drawing of you and it just wasn't a good drawing, like zero, like bad job. Like, and you came to me and you could have put it in your stories and blasted me and I would have deserved it, but you came to me and you're like, hey, like I was really excited about this, but I was super bummed how this turned out. And that was really humbling to me. And to be honest, I don't usually redo drawings. Like I've had, you know, I've got a, like if somebody doesn't want something posted, like 100%, I'll take it down. No questions asked, like totally understand. But I don't usually redo it. I find it usually doesn't end well, you know, cause then you start kind of going back. But for you, I was like, you know what, this was on me, 100% bad. Like we're going to fix this somehow. And you were very humble through the experience as well. Cause it's weird to get a drawing of you, but when you get one that in my case, it was bad. Like I didn't put the time in it to, I should have. And literally ever since then, I've never posted a drawing that I failed to put the time into it that I should have. So that was, you know, honestly, you coming to me was a learning experience for me.
Oh, wow.
So you saved somebody else a bad experience down the road for sure.
You're awesome, Paul. Thank you.
So sweet. Paul, for somebody who is, you know, listening and they're trying to like maybe pivot or figure out this creativity, because I really believe everyone is creative. I don't think it's just in the art space. I feel like there's so many pieces that we all bring to the table because God has created us. So I'd love for you to practically like give, you know, one to three things about how can we practically bring creativity into whatever we do?
Well, let's see. The first one is, and I'm kind of going to go back to what I was talking about earlier with cameras. Like you really have to deal with your constraints and where you're at the time, like you're doing things. I think it's really easy for creatives and everybody does this, like absolutely everybody. So if you're doing this now, if you're like, oh, I want to get into art, but I don't have an iPad, or I want to get into music, but I don't have a guitar, or I want to get into videography, but I don't have a camera, like any of those things, like you just got to start with whatever you got. And the starting is the thing. Like you have to put something out. That goes back to the Steve Jobs quote, the real artist ship. And it's like, if you're not putting things out there, you're not there yet. And you just got to do it. And part of the, and it's recognizing that part of the process is posting all that stuff you're not happy with. Like, cause I'll go back now, you know, back to those like 2019 drawings or the 2018 drawings and blech, like they're awful. I hate them, but I feel like every artist has that experience. I'm sure Picasso, when he was making his final paintings, he looked at the stuff from 5 years ago. It was like, ugh, this is terrible. I hate it. So you just have to, wherever you're at, get started. I think there's a beauty nowadays in social media and that you can put something out and it's available to everybody. There's some danger in that too, obviously, because, you know, it is available to everybody. So depending on who you are and what you're doing, that could be problematic in some cases, but you know, it's never been easy, but it's never been easier than it is now to reach a number of people who are into the same things that you are. So you've got to start, you got to put stuff out there. And the thing, I said this earlier, the thing that really did it for me is to just drop your expectations on the ground. Cause I've done this thing a couple of times where I was like, oh, I'm going to do something with my art, right? Like I'm going to get a book deal or I'm going to make some money off of that. Every time I've done that, like, it did not work. Terrible. bad idea, frustration, you know, all that stuff. And I'm sure the same thing happens with musicians, and I'm sure the same thing happens with videographers. But if you take any expectation out of it and then turn the expectation into just making art, it makes it so less stressful. Like it turns it into a soulful practice at that point, because like you're doing this. And like I said earlier, like I do these things prayerfully. So when it's done, like that's the expectation has been fulfilled. Like I'm not waiting on followers. I'm not waiting on likes. I'm not waiting on, you know, whatever else. And if you can find that place where you can put this stuff and having the finished product is what fills you, the hard part then is just keeping it going, you know?
Paul, you're such a source of wisdom, and it's amazing. I'm sure you marvel at the fact that people are sitting at your feet asking you questions, and you're like, what? This is incredible. What a journey.
Yes.
Well, we're gonna glean some more wisdom from you. You know, every time we begin to wrap up our conversation, we love to ask this question. I would love for you to answer it in light of our conversation. Together we blank. And then just unpack that.
So you had sent this to me, and it literally took me a week to figure it out. But I came up with "Together We Endure," and the reason I chose that is, you know, the enduring. I looked up the actual definition of it, but it was like suffering patiently. And I've found personally in my own life, through a whole multitude of experiences, from sports to being in the military to, you know, being a business owner to being a creative, the hard work is the dealing day to day and the long term just difficulty of doing anything for a long time, you know. So when it came to like the military, the way you do things really good is you just suffer the most. Like you're not the strongest, you're not the fastest, but you can endure the most pain. And the same way with sports, and the same way with web development and projects. Like if you're the person who could take a project all the way to the end, and it's annoying and it's frustrating, but you can finish it, like you're golden. And the same thing with art and with creativity. It's not like you sit down, you prepare, and then you make the masterpiece. Like I did it. Now it's done, and now I can go. Like, no, it's a constant just grind. You're dealing with things. You're going through life. Your kids are sick. You've got all this stuff going on, but you're still showing up and still doing the work. And that is the part that is really difficult. And we have to do it together. You know, like I wouldn't, like if I didn't have the support of my wife, if I didn't have the support of my boys, through all this, like, I don't know if I would have been able to endure it. So it's like like I've mentioned, I've made some good friends online who show up. I mean, there's nothing more encouraging than when somebody out of the blue who commented on your post a year ago is like, hey, you haven't posted anything. You're doing all right. Do you need me to pray for you for anything? It's like, what? Are you serious? It's amazing what can happen. So yeah, when I thought of that quote, together we endure, we make it through this, we get to the end, we suffer patiently, but then everything is in God's hands and he works it out to his own will and we go along with it.
Mm. Well, Paul Mignard, thank you so much for everything you shared today, how you encourage us to reach towards creativity as a superpower for each one of us. And we're just grateful for what you are continuing to do it with his sketchy sermons and wherever this else goes. So if you want to connect with Paul, you can do that. All of his information will be in today's show notes. Paul Mignard, thank you so much for being on Together We Rise.
You yes, rock.
Thank Paul. You both. I appreciate it. Thank you.
Well, I get so excited when we get to these moments. Danielle and I love sitting with our incredible tribe, the force that is Women Speaker Collective. And we are going to be highlighting an incredible woman doing wonderful things. I can't wait for you to hear a little bit about her. Danielle, who do we have?
We are excited to welcome Sarah Cochran. Sarah, thank you so much for being here. I'd love for you to just like, no holds barred, tell us a little bit about your story.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me so much. I appreciate it. So I have boiled down my story into five things. Really quickly, I'll just share and then we can talk, we can dive deeper. But I gave my life to Christ when I was 6 years old at school. I was in first grade and my first grade teacher was just praying over the classroom and I started bawling. I just felt the presence of God in that moment and I just started bawling. So she asking questions, finally narrowed it down. And I remember her getting the big red Bible off of the shelf and just bringing it over and taking me off to the side and reading what's called the Romans Road. I don't know if anyone still uses that, but it's, you know, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Just asking me if I wanted to follow Jesus. And from that point on, God has recently showed me that I have lived 7 years at a time in different seasons of my life, five times. So that tells you almost how old I am, right? But from the ages of 7 to 13, I learned to hear God's voice. I remember sitting on tire swing, riding my bicycle, just learning to hear what God's voice sounded like and responding to him. And then even times in church service and going to the altar and praying. So God's voice is number one. The second is personal integrity. In my teen years and early 20s, I just learned, how do I live my life in the face of persecution for my faith, for my beliefs? And what does that look like to hold my relationship with God above anything else? And so personal integrity. And then the next year started this crisis of faith. Mm-hmm. I met the love of my life, my husband, and we just celebrated 20 years of marriage this past year. And he's my best friend. I love him. But during that first 7 years of our marriage, it was a faith crisis for me. Mm-hmm. We entered ministry. He was a pastor. And we also went through 5 years of fertility treatments. Mm-hmm. And so that faith crisis, 7 years of my life, was very difficult. And then on the other side of that, I found victory in many areas, thankfully. And there became a 7 years of a clear calling that this was the life I had lived. But my life wasn't looking like what I thought it was going to. But God had something mm-hmm. different on the other side. And so 7 years figuring out my calling. I went back to college, got a Bible degree, and then also went on to seminary after that. And so that was clear calling. And this last past 7 years has really been more dynamic in my life and a little more exciting from my end and my perspective of living it out, just getting to really boldly proclaim freedom and proclaim God's word and proclaim the gospel. After living out these different seasons of my life, I don't know why others can go through a faith crisis in a year, and I took 7 years, but that's just how my story was meant to be. And so this is where I am on the other side of what I have followed God through this time in my life. So now I get to work with an organization that rescues kids from sex trafficking worldwide called Destiny Rescue. And so it is a wonderful organization to be a part of and just travel and speak and also really support a lot of, honestly, women, other women who are pastors or in ministry as I travel and get to know them. So it's a blessing.
Mm-hmm. Goodness, with the work that you do, Sarah, first of all, how brilliant to sort of put that in stages. That's such a beautiful flow of life. With the work that you do, I can only imagine that it must rip the heart out sometimes, just the nature of what you do. And then also hearing about that crisis of faith, which is, I think, something we all as women, it's waters that we pass through. I, you know, with either that moment of that, of struggling, that crisis of faith, or even the really hard times in the current sort of space of where you're working and serving, what have been some of the challenges that have, like, you know, almost like really sort of punched and bruised your faith? And how did you come out of that? How did you pull back up?
Yeah, I think just going back to the faith crisis years of how do I still have a relationship with God and not view God as a genie in a bottle of, I am praying for my life to look like this. I am praying for these things in the world to be fixed, to be addressed, to for God's justice to come to bear. That even fast forward to right now, that's how I feel sometimes where I'm like, God, will you just enter in and clean the slate here? And so facing those types of scenarios has really helped my faith grow deeper in my relationship with God. I use the analogy of the more that we face in and see in this world and the pain that you see in people's eyes, the closer it draws you to God. And the closer you get to God, then you see things from his perspective more. Because I'm looking from my perspective over here and I'm just pointing my finger at God or at something that's not just in the world. But when I'm drawing closer and closer to him and his heart, I get to start to see things from his perspective. And his perspective says, Sarah, what are you doing about the things that you see? And how are you doing carrying out the call that I've called you to make a difference? And to be the change in the world. At a certain point when I was going through fertility treatments, soon after that, the doctor said, it's not going to happen. I was praying and I said, God, I don't understand. Like, why can't you just do this? And there was this moment and I had learned God's voice early on. And so I knew it was him talking. He said, Sarah, I will take care of your kids, but will you take care of mine? Mm. And I didn't know what that looked like, but I did know that was a clear call to take care of God's kids, which has led me all kinds of places, doing foster care, adopting a son, and even today of what I'm doing with kids around the world. So again, when you get close to God and you see him, you turn and you look from his perspective, he's like, wow, you know, you gave your life to me when you were six and I have all of these things that I'm inviting you into that you get to be a part of in the world to help address that I've called you to do. And so I am doing something, you know, I'm calling you. So.
Sarah, you're such a descriptive speaker. Just when you were going through those years, like I could picture everything that you were sharing. And so, you know, you had left in the notes that you've had a traumatic experience when you were 13 and you had a fear of public speaking. So I'd love to know, like, what, like, how did God redeem that for you? Because now you travel to different churches and you speak with Destiny Rescue. What has he done in your heart for that?
Wow. Yeah, that's Jesus, let me tell you. When I was 13, I just had this traumatic event. It was had to do with the stage, it had to do with 150 of my peers, and it even had to do with sexual trauma. And so it was just all of these different things across the board that suddenly it was a betrayal from a friend in the same moment. And so I looking back, I see three things that Satan, the enemy, tried to use against me throughout the rest of my life to fight against where God was calling me to. In that moment, it was fear of using my voice. I didn't want to use my voice anymore because it felt too dangerous. And so I went silent for many years. And fear of relationships, of trusting because of the betrayal of my friend. And also a skewed understanding of people's opinions of me versus God's opinion of me because of those 150 peers making fun of me in that moment. And so those three things I have had to fight against all of these different seasons of my life. And really just I'll be honest with you, in the last 2 years has been the huge breakthrough that I have been wanting and really not even understanding how to, you know, if you would have talked to me 3 years ago, I would not have been able to break this down. Number one, a lot of counseling, a lot of therapy. Number two, just women like you guys, honestly, and Women Speaker Collective and others, friends who have come around me and I'm saying, I am walking into a room with women and I'm supposed to be speaking to them. And I'm breaking out in a sweat and I am freaking out and I'm reliving this trauma. And I've got to move past it because God has called me. He has given me a role. He's given me a place. He's given me a team that believes in me. And I don't believe in myself yet. And so I've really had to just press in and do it, walk it scared. That is my new motto. Walk in, do it scared, do it afraid. Because God will meet you there every time. And he really does. And I don't care anymore if I look ridiculous or I sound ridiculous because I know who I'm doing it for. And so that's just pressing in, I think, doing it scared.
Oh, my goodness. I love that. And what a word of encouragement for all the women to do it scared. The thing that you, that pricking of your heart, the thing you feel called to do, the thing that lights you up, and just take that first step, knowing that God will, as you said, go before you, lead you every step of the way. You're such a beautiful example of that, Sarah. You know, as we kind of begin to wrap up, I'd love to hear, you know, when you think about other women who are struggling, who are doubting their call, who maybe are not hearing God's voice so clearly as you've been hearing it, like, what's your hope for women? What's your word of encouragement for them? Just pour in.
Yeah, absolutely. So there is so much inside friendship that I think we don't always access. We think other people are busy. They're too busy for me. I think we think I'm not good enough to walk in those circles. I think we think I'm not at that level yet. Maybe I think I can get there, but I just don't see myself as a part of that group. And so making yourself ask for what you need from your friends or from people that you want to be your friends. Mm-hmm. I have a new statement that I have embraced and it's just simply, will you be my friend? Mm-hmm. And I don't want to throw back on like Mr. Rogers of won't you be my neighbor or anything, but literally it's just, will you be my friend? Right. I need friends. Yeah. And so I think just an encouragement of there's so much within community when you are willing to be vulnerable and you're willing to ask for help and you're willing to say, this is how I'm feeling in this moment. Isn't that ridiculous? It feels ridiculous. Maybe it's not. I don't know. Have you ever experienced that? And people, once you're vulnerable with them, they're just like, oh yeah, that's happened to me one time. And then you have commonality with people around you. And, I think just being willing to ask for help is something that we don't access. The community of God is so, it's such a gift that we don't always utilize. And for whatever reason, we don't. We do on social media. Sometimes we do on text. Sometimes we do. But face-to-face saying, will you be my friend, can be intimidating. Face-to-face saying, this is what happening to me. Has anything like that happened to you? Can you help me through it? Is very powerful. So I'd encourage asking, ask for help.
Yeah. It seems so silly just to say, will you be my friend? I remember doing that last summer to a girl I just met and it's weird, but you know what? She wanted to be my friend. Imagine that. Like, aww, we just have to ask.
Love it.
You know, just as we finish up, Sarah, I'd love for you to just celebrate what has happened because of being a part of Women Speakers Collective. You found a community of women and you guys have a project that you're working on. So I'd love for you just to quickly just celebrate that. Cool.
Yes. So I am working with Dee and Nikki and they have become such good friends. I asked them to be my friends too. I was like, we're on this project. Will you be my friend? But they have encouraged me so much and we have built this little community, but we came together to write a book, a children's book, encouraging girls to use their voice. Mm-hmm. And, following all throughout this little animal, there's different animal characters and fun, just things within there. So it's a cross between a storybook and also a devotional. So there'll be discussion questions and interactive opportunities within that, and learning a different value. We find it important that if we're just handing kids a microphone or girls a microphone, we want them to have something important to say. We want them to have the character development that when they speak, it's going to be significant what they say. And so we are really excited about this book and looking forward to it being published.
That is so great, Sarah. It's just so exciting because there's just like so many opportunities where if we just like put ourselves out there, if you are going boldly as you are in the season of your life, like God presents himself and he has so much good in store. And so thank you so much for using your voice. Thank you for being a part of Women's Speakers Collective. And we're grateful for your story, Sarah.